This week on the Time Bat Show.
What do you mean a gray area between vegetables and meat? It's like, what are the other? Do you know?
Well, because they do something to it in the lab. They do something to it in the lab. They like grow it in a way that it's like bleeding and stuff. I don't know, man. It's creepy. Episode 104 of the Time Bat Show. I'm your host, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Fat Snacks. I really hope that was okay on your end, because your clap for me, it was a good 15 seconds.
We're having some technical difficulties on this episode. Oh my god.
I'm so sorry, everybody.
No, it's fine. We're on Discord right now. Because Skype doesn't work on your Linux machine. Oh, man. That was.
Do you want me to explain why?
Yeah, it's actually go ahead. Funny. I have to compose myself, so yes, go ahead.
Okay. So in the past week, I was bored at night, and I decided I wanted to try to install Crusader Kings on my Linux Chromebook.
And
it totally ruined it. It was totally unsalvageable. Destroyed the entire operating system.
Do they have a Linux version of Crusader Kings?
Yeah, but it's not supposed to run on a Chromebook.
So you had to fiddle with settings, oh, and you got too deep in the hole, and basically here we are. Basically.
I mean, I got Steam installed, no problem, but... In the process of installing Crusader Kings, the entire distribution was destroyed.
So what are you running
when I reinstalled
now?
Skype didn't work.
So what are you running now?
It's the same, but... Yeah, when I reinstalled it, Skype doesn't work anymore for some reason.
You know what I have to say about this? I think it might be time to consider buying a new laptop. No offense or anything.
Yeah, I think you're right. Actually, I bought a new $20 power supply recently, and I plugged it into my old computer, and my old computer works. I just threw away my keyboard, and I just need to get a keyboard, and it'll work again.
Why did you throw your keyboard away?
Because I was moving, and I was just like, whatever, I'll get a new keyboard.
That's fair, I guess. So you're just... Okay. You didn't really plan this ahead, did you? You're like, you know, I'm going to install Crusader Kings. Before that, I should probably get a new keyboard and do this. That's fine.
Well, my Chromebook has a keyboard attached.
Mm.
But yeah.
Sure. No, I understand. So we're kind of working on a little... Yeah. We're working on under the gun right now. It's a little weird.
So how's the audio quality? Can you hear me?
It's fine. I can hear you.
Great.
I mean, I can hear you fine. When we edit it, our listeners will be like, oh, it sounds fine, because you're recording it, so it'll be fine at the end. I can hear you. Just speak solidly. Speak confidently in yourself. Try not to mumble.
And yeah. Slowly?
You don't have to go slow. I can fill in the gaps, you know, when you cut out. So how's it going today on the show? We don't have really anything prepared today because we were trying to figure out your thing, your situation. But how's it going?
Yeah, I've been messing. It's not going real good. I've been messing with it for the past hour and it still doesn't work.
I meant like with your life in general, but I guess this applies to that as well, I guess, huh? Yeah.
Well, life in general is good, but...
Good. Everything's good. Your computer's really borked.
My computer just isn't working really good.
That's okay. It happens. It was funny, when we tried to do the introduction, when we clapped to sync, I mean, you said it. Like, the first time, I was like, oh, that was perfect, it was in sync, and you were like, that was like a minute later for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, Yeah, so welcome to episode 104. I don't even know. I think it's 104. the Time Bad Show. This is going to be like a, I don't know, we'll see how long we can get through whatever the hell we're doing right now. I'm okay. Keep going, though, because my audio sounds, you sound okay. Do I sound okay for you?
Yeah, you actually sound really good now. Oh, so
okay. Well, maybe we'll get through a whole episode. Some kind of miracle. So I collected a few things to talk about, you know, while you were doing your stuff. First topic of conversation is you were at the gym recently, and I wanted to ask you about it.
Ask how that's been going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can share a story.
Please.
So recently I started going back to the gym, and I decided, you know, there are showers at the gym, and they're free. You can use them if you want.
Now, do you have to have a membership to shower at the gym? Probably.
I've never tried without one, but I mean, you're just going to walk in and be like...
Who would stop you, though? Like, sorry, you can't shower here. Are you a member?
You need to get out of the shower, mister.
Yeah. Anyway, so you did you do it?
Yeah, I did it. I've been doing it every day.
You've been showering at the gym every day?
Almost, yeah.
What kind of experience is that?
Okay, so I'll just talk about the first time I went, because that was probably the most memorable for me. So the first time, I was really nervous, because I'm, like, pretty, I don't know, weird about bathrooms, and, like, an actual bathroom in the public is a whole different ballgame.
It's a whole new ballgame.
Where you have to shower.
And and do so all that
I'll give
stuff.
You a rundown of, like, yeah, of what this is like.
Okay.
So, you go into the locker room, mm-hmm. and there are lockers in there. Mm-hmm. You put all your stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And there's towels you can grab while you're in there. Okay. And so, you're supposed to disrobe in the locker room, then walk into the shower, which is down a hallway.
That's just like...
So, there's like a travel distance.
So you're just fully out there during this time.
So you're just, yeah, out there. Mm-hmm. And the first time I was there, I was like, so am I supposed to get naked here? Like, there's no way this is what you're supposed to do. Uh-huh. Like, because people are going to see me.
So did you camp out and see what other people were doing?
Yeah, I camped out. I sat there. I looked on my phone, which is probably really creepy in retrospect.
Uh-huh. Sure, that's true. And then did you see people doing the walk?
Yeah, other people were doing the walk.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, if I get arrested, I'll just be like, they did it too.
Fully ready to go. Huh.
Yeah.
Like, they were doing the walk.
So you go in the shower, you do all that, and then you have to walk back down the hallway, back into the locker room, and change again. I don't know, it's just, mm-hmm. it's the weirdest experience, because...
It's weird that there's a walk. Like, that's weird to me.
There's a walk, and there's, like... There are all these characters of people that are always there. Like, I swear, the first day I was there, there was a singing naked Greek man. Like,
sounds great.
He was just standing around singing.
Why would
in
he
a
be?
Heavy Greek accent?
That sounds.
I think he's always there.
Sounds delightful, to be honest. Now, this hallway, yeah. is it like it's part of the like bathroom, right? It's not like.
Yeah.
Go out or anything, right? It's like enclosed within the bathroom structure, right?
It's enclosed.
Okay. Just making
sure.
Yeah,
there's like restrooms on the left, showers mm-hmm. on the right, and if you keep going down the hall, there's a sauna, which is mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you have to be pretty brave to go into there.
So if I went to the like YMCA or wherever you went, the gym, and I went to take a piss in this bathroom, would I potentially see a naked man walking to the shower?
Probably 70% chance.
See, that doesn't make me want to go at all. This is an interesting, like, it's like there's a different, like, social structure going on within the gym bathroom, you know? Like, there's a different...
That's what I was thinking, too.
Like, it's like all the rules are kind of out the window, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is like back into a different time period, like 1,000 years ago, like communal bathrooms, because not everyone had
the Roman times, you know, with the bathhouses and stuff.
Right.
You know? Because like if you saw a naked man
walking,
people
are still doing that.
down the street, you would be like, what the hell is that person doing? They would get arrested, you know? But in the gym, I guess it's okay. Like, I don't know. Do you think there's, like, different laws for gyms? Like, do you think they have to write that in the law? Like, because, like, public nudity is against the law in a lot of places. So, like, in a gym, public place, right? So, like, do they have to, like, have special laws for, like, gym nakedness exemptions or something? Do you think?
There has to be, because I'm pretty sure even if you were to, like, get naked in a regular restroom, you would get arrested.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like, but if you're in a gym restroom, it's okay. Like, and how do you, here's the weird thing. Like, you didn't know you were allowed to get naked. You had to just wait and see if other people were doing it, right? But how do they know that they're allowed to get naked, right? Is there a sign that says, like, you're allowed to get naked here? It's not against the law with, like, a naked man.
No, there's no sign.
Thumbs-upping, you know what I mean? Like, like, how do you know? You know? How do you know that?
Everybody just does it.
Yeah. So there must be a different law or something. I don't know. If anything, it's, like, a socially acceptable thing. Maybe?
And, you know, what I think about is, how do they police this stuff? Like, what if there's, like, a... not a good person in the bathroom. What like crosses? What are you allowed to and not allowed to do? What is the law?
I don't know, because there it sounds like a zoo in there. You could just do whatever you want.
It is.
Like maybe it's not against the law, but they don't report it. They just like turn a blind eye. They're like, well, people have to get naked. It's a gym bathroom. It's technically against the law, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just like. It's under the, you know, it's like in the gray area, if you will. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
But then, like...
Yeah, I don't get it, and it's a weird world in there.
If you know about the gym and, like, laws and nakedness in the gym, and you're, like, an expert, we want to hear from you. Contact at timebethshow.com or tweet us at timebethshow. I feel like there has to be
another cool thing. Yeah. There has to be some, and I wanted to say there's another cool thing about the gym bathroom that's actually cool is the lockers in there. So they have these digital keypads on them, and you get to choose a unique PIN every single time.
Ooh, that does sound
cool. And as long as you remember your PIN, you can get back in. Now, I don't know if normal people would think about this, but immediately my brain went to, okay, if I were a mobster... This is where I'm going to put the stolen diamonds to exchange them with because the mob boss.
You just give the pin to the other guy, the mob boss, and he comes in with the pin, and then boop, boop, boop. There you go, right?
Yep.
So do you set the pin?
You know, he gets naked, does his thing.
Yep.
Yeah, you set it to anything you want.
And then expires in like a day or something like that? Probably. Like it resets.
Yeah, I'm sure like at the end of the night, they go in and empty out all the lockers.
So here's what you do, the mob boss. You go in. You make like you're changing, right? The diamonds are in your pocket. You put them in there. You put all your clothes in there. You close it down. You lock it. You go take a shower. You come back. Then you get all your stuff from the locker except the diamonds. Close it and then tell the guy. And then it looks like you're both just taking a shower, you know?
Right.
Which you are. You do take a shower.
And, you know, you can conceal your identity that way, too. Like, because you can leave and just tell them the locker number.
Yeah, you could. And
like,
the pin.
If you don't want Bubsy to know your identity, you can just tell him, hey, listen, go to locker number 100 in the YMCA and enter combination 8664.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like a cool movie. That sounds like a great opening for a movie. Right? And bonus, you get like a bunch of naked men like in your quota for the movie, like in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Tons. Like, yeah.
You open on a naked man. Like you open your first shot, you have a panning shot of a naked man. You know what I mean? Walking. In the shower. Walks back. And then you pan over to the mobster that's putting the diamond in. Like, that's an opening. That's like a 5-minute long shot of the movie.
You know? Yeah. why was this never in an Arnold movie? Like, at the beginning of the movie, say he's the secret agent in the movie, and this would, like, set him up really good. Like,
and he could have been naked.
Right, Arnold gets naked, and he showers. Uh-huh. And it turns out later in the movie, he's a secret agent, and the guy did, like, a deal at, right at his own home gym while he was there, naked, in the shower.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, see it in the background in the first shot, but you don't know what's going on.
Whoa.
Right.
That's wild, man. And then Arnold goes back to the gym, and he's like, here's the ground zero. Maybe the whole movie is just in the gym.
It's like Reservoir Dogs, like, just shot in a YMCA.
Maybe. Why not, right? I love stupid movie premises like that.
How do you build action at the gym? Like, where do you develop the plot?
I don't know. I don't know, but I love it. I love the idea of it. I love movies with this stupid premise. Like, okay, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's in the gym all day doing something important. So it starts with go ahead. You got it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, there's a subway attached to the YMCA. He could be an employee there.
Of the subway? Oh, sandwich shop.
Yeah, and that's why he's at the gym all the time.
Sandwich shop?
Yeah, sandwich shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he was a secret agent, though. Arnold. Are we throwing that idea out the window now?
I'm just trying to think of ways to keep him in the YMCA.
There's a bomb threat. You just die hard it, you know? Like, it's like, I don't know, something terrible happens. Who would want to bomb a YMCA, though? Something would need to be more nefarious. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
There's a hostage situation in the YMCA.
Here. Perfect.
And the lead YMCA man is taken hostage in his office. And he says if anyone leaves, he'll die. So the police, like, bar the doors, you know, and, like, everyone's stuck in the YMCA. And Arnold... Mm-hmm. is a retired, this is important, retired FBI agent. And he's trying straighten his life out because he devoted too much to the FBI. And it's his anniversary today because that's important.
Of course.
And he has flowers that he brought with him to the gym. Because he's on his way home. Like, he's off work, and he's at the gym, and he's about to leave for home for his anniversary. Mm-hmm. And so he does the gym, and he takes a shower, and he puts the flowers in, like, the locker for safekeeping. And then when he comes out,
right.
he hears, like, gunfire, and then he's like, oh, no! You know what I mean? And that's when it really starts cooking, the story.
Yeah, right. that's when his FBI instincts kick in.
Right, and he's like, you naked. See,
the reason there's a...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, he's naked at first, just wearing a towel. Mm-hmm. And the reason for the hostage situation at the YMCA is because a rival mob gang caught wind that they were doing deals through the lockers.
There you go.
So they want in on it. Catch the diamonds. Yeah.
In the middle of it. But they're pretending that the hostage is just to, like, rob the YMCA of its money, what's in their vault or something. And that's, like, that's what they say. But in reality, there's, like, another guy that's not part of the hostage takers that is, but he's, like, secret, that is just looking for the diamond or whatever. You know, he's like, so Arnold has to track him down, like, figure out who he is.
Yeah. And see, the thing is neither the mob guy, like the primary antagonist, or Arnold know who the secret mafia member is. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's like hidden amongst the hostages.
And this is like the big twist of the movie. This is like, it'll keep you coming.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm going to throw in another wrinkle in this. Arnold forgets his locker combination, and he's in a towel the whole time.
Yes.
How do we feel about that one?
I feel 100% about that.
Okay, I love this. This is great. This is one of our better ideas, I feel like. And then it's
I love this movie.
I don't know who like the bad guy is, like the secret guy, but like whoever it is like it's a big reveal in the movie. Like it's a really big, like it's a, ooh, it really hits you in the head. You know, like whoa, it was.
How about it's a girl that's been flirting with Arnold?
Oh, and he just got it's his anniversary. That's
such like
though.
An Arnold plot, like
it's such a it's his anniversary.
But
though.
It's like. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe his marriage but is he's like really like on the receptive. Rocks. Maybe his marriage is really on the rocks. Like it's the beginning of Unbreakable, you know? Like his marriage is really on the rocks. So like he's married, but he's like kind of flirting with people because he's like looking for it. But this anniversary is important to him because he's trying to like make it, you know, work better.
Yeah, he's trying to make it right.
So when this girl flirts with him, he's like, you know what I mean? He's kind of playing it. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it's revealed that she's the bad guy. And then he's like, oh, I should have never doubted my wife. You know? And like, or I should have never, I should have never even thought about this. And then it brings it all around to like him becoming a better husband. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's like, that's his journey in the film. Because he needs.
The secret mob boss is Lucy Liu. It's always her. Like,
I love it. Lucy Liu, and she's like really athletic. She like does like the karate, or this is gonna sound super racist, but she does like one of the classes. And she's like, he sees her like when he's walking to the gym in the opening shots, and she's like doing some crazy fucking.
She
moves.
Teaches Tai Chi.
This is bad.
At the YMCA.
But she's like way like she's like the YMCA is way out of her league, but she like does it anyway. You know what I mean? Like she's way too good for the YMCA.
It's a front. Yeah.
Right. It's a front. Exactly. For the mob. I like this. What would the title of a movie like this be? Has to be like snappy. Like Jim.
It has to be
something.
Yeah. It would be based on the fact that there's a secret identity in play.
I got it. Are you ready? Work out. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Just think about it. It works on a bunch of levels.
Work out. Because you have to work out the identity of the secret
but
monster.
But you go to the gym to work out. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. And Arnold has to, like, run all over the place fighting people, and that's a workout. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Work out. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then Bruce Willis makes
and Lucy
a
Liu
in the end of the movie. You know, he needs like a cop that can talk to him on the outside, like in Die Hard. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who would play the cop. You need like an old person.
You need like an old, slightly overweight person.
Yeah.
Like Kevin
someone who
James.
Looks a little bit unhealthy.
Like Kevin James.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the movie. Workout. I think, I don't know, I think something like this would really work. I mean, these movies were made in the truckloads in like the mid-2000s. These kinds of movies.
Yeah.
They're kind of on the wane today, but I feel like you just need one really good one for it to like resurge, you know? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, do you remember when... like back when Taken got released, suddenly there were like 10 revenge movies about stealing daughters.
And you just need one to be successful. And then you're like, whoa, here we go. And this one's an easy pitch. It's like Die Hard in the gym with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there's a little bit of a mystery in there. It's like, wow, that sounds great. It's like, yes, it is great. And he uses like gym equipment as weapons. Like it could be, like it just writes itself.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, he uses a barbell as, like, a mace.
You tell the producer it's shot entirely in a YMCA. There's all you need is a YMCA.
You just need a YMCA for, like, a week. And then you got it. You got the movie.
You got a movie.
And the greatest thing is, in the gym, he could, like, kill people on, like, gym equipment and in the pool in a bunch of different ways. And he could have, like, a pun every time. Like, there's just an infinite supply like of puns that he can make as he like murders people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when he like kills someone on the treadmill after they fall and die, he's like, take a load off or something. I don't know. Like, you know, there's like a million of
burn out.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's so many potential puns you could be. You could do that. You know, drown yeah. someone in the pool when he's like.
Yeah, I was going to say in the jacuzzi.
Mm. I don't know. There's so many possibilities for a movie like Workout. We should get to writing that. I really like, want to. What?
I was going to say, you put like soap all over the floor in the bathroom. And he's like, don't drop the soap as he falls and breaks his head.
Yeah, he's like, you know what they say about dropping the soap as the guy cracks his head open on the floor or something like that. And he doesn't use a gun like the whole movie because he doesn't have one. And he forgets his...
He's retired.
He forgot his locker combination.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go for the like... So he resolves it. He finds Lucy Liu. He saves the day by like throwing like a barbell at the bad guy, like hitting him on the head so that he like drops the hostage. And then he saves the day, right? And then at the end, he's like, right. I need to get home for my anniversary. But I need to get the flowers in my locker. And he goes over to the locker and he realizes that his locker combination is his anniversary day all along. It's the date of the anniversary.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
And he's like, oh, of course. And then like the last shot of the movie is he's walking out and like calling his wife. He's like, sorry, I'm late, honey. Or whatever, you know what I mean? I got a little tied up at the gym. Or no, he says, sorry, I'm late, honey. I had a pretty excruciating workout at the gym. And then it's like, yeah. That's the end. He like says the title of the movie in the last line.
Yeah. I was going to say, it was a pretty tough day at the gym, but I got everything worked out. Like winks at the camera.
At the camera, and then it just fades. I got everything worked out. Oh my god, that's amazing. Okay, well, we just like spent 26 minutes talking about the gym movie. I only have one trivia question for you today. Do you want me to save it for the end, or do you want me to just do it right now? Do you care?
We're at a halfway point. Let's. What? I think let's do it and see what we can make of it.
Okay. Okay. It's I only have one because. Man, I should have changed this with the Arnold thing in mind. I got it all worked out. Sorry I'm late, honey, but I had a long day at the gym, but I got everything worked out. You could really spawn sequels to this too. Like Workout 2 Training Day, and it's at like an army training camp, you know, or Workout 3.
Yeah.
At like a spa or something. I don't know. You could do so many like offshoots to this. It's a franchise.
Tons of places.
Yeah. I can see this as a franchise. Like totally. And then you have to have a sequel, like two or three have to have like Dennis Hopper in them, you know what I mean? One of them, you know, like as the real mastermind.
Yeah.
Cuz that's important. You know, like one, the mastermind is kind of loose. And then 2 and 3, you really ratchet it up with, like, okay, this guy's really in control. You know, it's like Dennis Hopper or something. I don't even know if Dennis Hopper is still, like, doing movies, but if he did, he would be in this movie. In, like, Workout 3.
Yeah.
Spa Day. Or
whatever. He would be the perfect YMCA mafia boss.
Right? Oh, it'd be like the John Wick universe, because, like, John Wick 1, he, like, kills a lot of people. John Wick 2... One of the guys, like, it's semi-related to John Wick 1 because the guy that's trying to kill him in 2 is pissed off that he killed people in 1. So, like, 2 right. or 3 is, like, Dennis Hopper being mad that he killed some mob guy at the gym in the first one.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, trying to get his revenge.
He also disrupted the deal.
Right. So he's trying to get his revenge on Arnold. You know what I mean? And he's, like, trying to do it when Arnold is, like... not able to fight back, so he does it while Arnold's like at the spa with his wife, like so he's naked again.
Right.
That's important to these movies.
That's important.
Like he has no gun or anything, and it's like the spa is like a mafia front. Like the whole spa is just like a front for the mafia. Like they launder money there or whatever. you know, and Dennis Hopper's like the head spa man, but he's really the mob boss.
For Arnold's wife's anniversary, he got her a full package at the spa, and it's at this spa. Like, that's yes. the setup.
And the movie takes place like a week later, like from the first one. Yeah. Like, because it's like, oh, you got me a spa. It's like, yeah, it's for next week. And then it's like, there you go. That segues into the next movie perfectly. And he just He just happened to buy the mafia spa. But, you know, it happens. Okay. So your trivia question. You get one lifeline, since you only have one. Your category is entertainment.
Okay, since I'm not going to risk messing with my computer setup, I'm going to pick Monty Hall for my... because that doesn't require...
Okay. Are you ready? Your question today is...
I'm ready.
What fictional character has been played by the most actors? What fictional character has been played by the most actors? Is it A, Hamlet, B, Sherlock Holmes, C, Dracula, or D, James Bond?
Okay. So it's not Batman.
I didn't say... Batman wasn't an option.
I know, but that's what I immediately thought.
Well, I didn't put it there because I knew you'd think of Batman.
Oh.
Batman really hasn't been Hamlet. Played by that many actors. Like five or six.
That's true. Yeah. So Hamlet, Sherlock Holmes.
Dracula and James Bond.
I can only think of like three Draculas. There's like... Bela Lugosi and that guy from Dracula 2000.
That other guy. There's the one from Dracula 1992. Gary Oldman is Dracula in that one.
True. I don't think it's Dracula. Hamlet, Sherlock Holmes, and what was the last one?
James Bond.
James Bond is probably a lot.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm going to use my Monty Hall.
Okay,
and I'm going to lock in Dracula. But before I do that, I want to say that I think it's Sherlock Holmes.
Okay, that's a real tricky way to do Monty Hall. Then you have to like think what I'm going to do after this. You're kind of playing mind games right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I probably should have told you what I think before.
No, you're playing mind games because you're like, okay, I'm telling you I think it's Sherlock Holmes. So now do I put Sherlock Holmes in the Monty Hall or do I not? And if
do you leave it out?
Do, does it mean that it was always the answer? You know what I mean? It's like, ooh, what are we going to do? All right, so I'm going to eliminate Hamlet and James Bond. So it is either Sherlock Holmes or Dracula.
Well, I did say that I didn't think it's Dracula, so I'm going to stick with that.
I thought you were going to be like, but I do think it's Dracula, so Dracula. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, here's the thing. I can think of more Sherlock Holmeses than I can think of Draculas. There's Patrick Stewart.
Benadryl Cabbage Patch.
Yeah, Benedict Clambermond, whatever his name is.
Benedict Clambermatch. Clambermatch. who was the first one?
There was probably at least three people on the BBC. Like,
no, who were you saying first?
Sherlock Holmes is, I think it is.
No, but like you said one actor, and then you said Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't
know who it was. Oh, the first person, Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart was. When was he Sherlock Holmes?
In Star Trek.
He was Sherlock Holmes on Star Trek. That was an episode?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So Patrick
Stewart. Or maybe Data was. I don't know.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Robert Downey Jr. That's three already.
Probably a bunch of people on the BBC.
Bunch of people on the BBC, probably.
Okay. I'm going to go with Sherlock Holmes. Final answer.
Sherlock Holmes is correct. Good job. Yeah, I didn't. I don't have the number here, but it was like 250 different people have played Sherlock Holmes. Like an insane amount of people have played Sherlock Holmes. It counts film and stage, I think. No, it's only film, actually. But yeah, it's like a shit ton of people just played Sherlock Holmes. Interestingly, Dracula was second place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So more people.
I was going to say, I wonder if they count people that played Sherlock Holmes in like a spin-off episode of a show like Star Trek. You mean like
Patrick Stewart's Star Trek? I would think so. Probably.
Right.
But you got to figure there's been like 100 like TV standalone episodes of like BBC's Christmas special this year is Sherlock Holmes goes to the bank, you know, played by some random actor, you know what I mean? Played by Hugh Grant as Sherlock Holmes or something. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's probably a special every year, you know? So, like, I'm sure in, like, the 60s and 70s, like, 100 different people played Sherlock Holmes on the BBC, like, every other week. They were like, here's another Sherlock Holmes. But, yeah, Dracula was number two. Like, 40-something people have played Dracula, like, a surprisingly high amount. But Sherlock Holmes just blows them out of the water. And I think you're right. I think it's because of the BBC. Like, they probably just love Sherlock Holmes so much that they have a new actor play him, like, all the time. So
yeah. I'll say, I love Sherlock Holmes. Like, even the new modern ones with Benedarn Comber Notch.
Comber Notch. Like,
that's a good show.
It is. Yeah. It's a weirdly written show. I think it was better in the beginning, and like the later ones didn't do as well. But I do like it. I even like the movies with Robert Downey Jr., the modern movies. Those are pretty good too. I like the idea of Sherlock Holmes a lot. Like the idea of Sherlock Holmes. Also, they have a lot of like spin-off Sherlock Holmes shows. Have you noticed that? So like Sherlock Holmes, the Benedict Cumberbatch, is like a modernized Sherlock Holmes. You know what I mean? He's, right. like, in the present day, but he's still Sherlock Holmes. And then, like, there's another show on some other thing where, like, it's another modern Sherlock Holmes, but he's, like, a different profession or something. I don't remember. So I wonder if they count those, too. Like, they're kind of... They're Sherlock Holmes, kind of, but not, you know... They're not 100% the same character, if that makes sense. Yeah. They probably count those as...
They're not the bandit on Abbey Way. That's probably not a real Sherlock Holmes story.
On Abbey Way, yeah. The bandit on Abbey Way. That was one that was written and then thrown in the trash for having a bad title. Like, I'm working on the bandit on Abbey Way. It's like, that's not good. Get back to the Hounds of Baskerville. Which is a much better title. The Hounds of Baskerville. Yeah. It's like, I want to work on the Bandit of Abbey Way. Like, no one's going to buy the Bandit of Abbey Way. Sorry. The Sherlock Holmes novels.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say Sherlock Holmes and the Runaway Lorry.
These are like the ones the first cases he gets that like he has to like prove he's a good detective first. Like, so people aren't giving him serious stuff. They're giving him like Sherlock Holmes and the Missing Goose, you know, Sherlock Holmes and the Runaway Lorry. And he has to solve these like really dumb cases before anyone takes him seriously. Now that's a good show right there. Like pre-famous Sherlock Holmes. You know?
Yeah.
Like, where he's just solving, like, the most benign, dumb cases. Like, people give him stuff.
It was, he needs to build his brand and convince people that he's...
I'm convinced my husband stole my sandwich. Like, prove it or something. And he's like, oh, fine. But Sherlock Holmes has really cool titles for all their stories. You know what I mean? It's like... Sherlock Holmes and the Hounds of Baskerville. Sherlock Holmes and A Study in Scarlet. Sherlock Holmes and the... I don't remember more, but they all have really neat, you know, titles. It's kind of... I'm kind of jealous of how good they are with titles. You know what I mean? It's like, A Sign of the Four and the Valley of Fear, you know, like they're all really neat sounding.
All of those sound so cool. Yeah.
Don't they? They sound so much cooler than the Runaway Lorry and the Bandit on Abbey Street or whatever the hell you do. Anyway. Speaking of old books, Sherlock Holmes is like 1800s or something, right? Or 19th century. Mm-hmm. We had this conversation on Twitter. We were talking about modernizing old books and how some people are pro-modernizing and some people are against modernizing. And, how do you feel about that, I guess?
Well, I told you how I feel about it. I'm very much against it.
In any way.
In any way. I don't think you should change a book.
Mm-hmm. But you're okay with, like, a TV adaptation or something that, you know, is influenced by it or whatever.
Yeah, I'm okay with, like, a new book in the spirit of an old book that's something like, I don't know, The Catcher in the Rye, Catch Harder, that kind
of thing. We're just making sequels to everything today, aren't we? Catch Harder. Yeah.
As far as, like, changing the original book and packaging it as the same book, even though it's changed, I'm against that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. It's just an interesting conversation because a lot of books are dated and definitely old. And I can see why people would want to change it. But at the same time, like, for offensive reasons or for, something maybe out of place, like Shakespearean stuff, like, doesn't make a lot of sense to people contemporarily because, you know, we don't use a lot of those words anymore. Or those, like, phrases and references are past our, you know, our understanding. But
it's... Yeah, that's true.
It's reflective of the time period, and you're losing that completely if you modernize it. You know, you use it, losing the humor and the subtlety if you do that.
I guess there would be two main reasons you would try to edit a book. One is because the language is so old that it just is not really readable with, like, common knowledge and language, like Shakespeare. And for something like that, you know, maybe having extensive footnotes, like, that's usually how I used to read
like stuff this, like, means that is, blah, blah, you know, blah. Or the context of this remark is that blah, blah, King Louis was a blah, 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 you know, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, I think footnotes would.
For that, I like to have, like, the commentary next to the original. So you can kind of understand what's going on and you can see the way it was originally
written. But you don't lose anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and for something, you know, for example, like a Huckleberry Finn, which features a lot of the N-word, as far as stuff like that goes, like, you can still understand that book just fine. But people, there are versions of the book that get rid of that word. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's like, Mark Twain wasn't a racist. Like, it was written kind of, it was a satirical book. He didn't mean anything bad when he wrote
I just don't think you should edit books. I think there's a distinction between characters and authorial intent. Like, right? It's like, you can write a character that's a terrible asshole and uses terrible words and does terrible things. Doesn't mean the writer is a terrible person because they wrote this character that did these things. And I think that's a distinction. And if you start drawing lines of, like, oh, what's too terrible, it starts getting hazy, and it's like, well, what am I allowed to write about and read about as, like, what kind of terrible person can I write? Like, does that mean I can't write a book that has a character inspired by Hitler? Because plenty of people have done that, you know? Like, he's a genocidal maniac and a terrible human being, but,
he's,
like,
a bad dude.
And he probably says terrible things and does terrible things, and, like, but a villain in a book, he would be great, because that's what you want in some fiction, to be able to have this obvious, clear, evil, you know, entity, right? And, like, what's more evil than Hitler? Yeah. So, like, not saying, like, oh, we shouldn't do that is kind of removing a whole swath of types of fiction to be written, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's my opinion on that, I guess. So.
Yeah, and the specific reason I think, you know, books get censored for that reason is because, you know, a lot of schools sign them to younger kids. And I think the solution to that is just assign them different books. There's plenty of different books. You don't need to read a book with really horrible stuff in it when you're that young. Like, this you either read...
Go ahead. You either read...
Yeah, you either read the original book or just read something else. There's tons of great books you can read.
I don't want to get off the too the deep end of this, but it reminds me of something that happened semi-recently. Have you seen... Have you seen The Hateful Eight? Or I guess Django Unchained also does it, but The Hateful Eight has got more heat for
it.
So there's a lot of racists in that movie because it's the Old West. And one of the characters is Samuel Jackson, and he's a great character in this movie. But a lot of people are very racist towards him in The Hateful Eight in bad ways. And Tarantino got some heat for having these characters that said these things. But that's how people talked to, you know, people of color in the, you know, in the 19th century. Like, that's how it worked. So,
yeah.
On one hand, you know, it's, you don't want to, you know, like, it's uncomfortable to watch something like that. But on the other hand, it's like, you're trying to present these characters as completely flawed individuals of their time period. And, you know, in order to do that, you need to have them say terrible things because that's who they are. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And, you know, when you have a character say terrible things like that, it feels a lot better when they die.
Like, yeah, exactly.
And you're like cheering. And you, like, yeah.
And you get to, get and you know that, like, those people are you get a sense of their character a lot quicker. It's like, oh, that guy's an asshole or whatever, like, because you could tell, because that's how it works. Yeah. But anyway, Hateful Eight's a really good movie, by the way. It's one of my favorite Tarantino
movies. I love that movie.
Like, a lot of people hated that because it was so slow, because it was kind of like a whodunit-y kind of thing, and they were kind of in, like, similar to our gym movie, where they're all in, like, a little house for, like, the majority of the movie that's, like, 3 hours long. But, oh, I love that movie. I love the two.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I love... Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's totally my kind of movie. It's just all character. Like, it's all character. All developing all the characters.
Are so good.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell's character is really good. Samuel Jackson's character is really good. The redneck guy's character is really good. I love all of them. They're really fun movie. If you haven't seen The Hateful Eight, I would recommend it. It's really fun, cool movie. Anyway, that was a little heady of a topic. So I think we're going to get into something different now. So there's a news story recently. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, do we have a news story or a Reddit?
Yeah, we do have a news story. It's a pretty limited one. But basically, recently, you know, all the non-meats. Have you heard of, like, Impossible Burger? Have you heard of that? It's basically a burger made of plant. And it's supposed to taste very similar to meat. And it, like, insofar as it, like, bleeds when you, like, cut it or something like that. Like, it's like they
is
go,
that a
they
feature go, or a bug?
No, it's supposed to bleed. Like, it has so much protein that it has, like, blood in it. It's not real blood, but it's, like, plant blood. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. But anyway, so they have this Impossible Burger. They have it in a lot of restaurants. And they're starting to bring these kinds of foods to the grocery store. Like, they're made with plants, but they're genetically altered in such a way that they have a lot of protein and they, like, look and taste and feel like meat. You know what I mean? But they're not meat. It's like, it's in between a veggie burger and a real hamburger, if you will. You know what I mean? It's a gray area in between where it's not really meat, but it's not really not meat. You know what I mean? So there
do you know how horrifying that is? What do you mean a gray area between vegetables and meat? It's like, what are the other? Do you know?
Because they do something to it in the lab. They do something to it in the lab. They, like, grow it in a way that it's, like, bleeding and stuff. I don't know, man. It's creepy. I don't know. But anyway, the story is that these companies are trying to get labeled as meat in the grocery store. And some people are against them being labeled as meat, and others are for it. And I wanted to hear your opinion on the meat, the non-meat being labeled as meat situation.
Yeah, I heard about this on a recent episode of Science Friday, and the what they were saying is that someone is trying to get laws passed to keep that stuff from being labeled as meat, right? Because a lot of times people that are eating meat are not really interested in eating bleeding vegetable protein.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's the issue, right? So they're like, oh, let's label it meat, because then we don't have to explain it's a bleeding vegetable protein to people, because that would gross them out. But mm-hmm. isn't that being dishonest? Like, that's my problem with that. Like, you're being dishonest. You're intentionally misleading your consumers at that point. Don't you think?
Yeah, just call it what it is, for real.
Bleeding vegetable product. And, that's what we'll call it.
Who is this for, too? Like, I eat meat. I'm fine with it. I'm at peace with the fact that I eat meat. I don't need to eat.
I don't know.
But don't they not like bleeding things?
I don't know, man. Here's the thing that confuses me more. I went to a burger restaurant recently. They had the Impossible Burger, and I was like, cool. I look at it. It's like twice the price of a regular burger. I'm like, why am I getting a non-burger for 20, for double the price of a regular burger? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I could see it being a thing if it's, like, way cheaper than beef. But currently it's not. It's more. You know what I mean? So it's like, what the hell's the point? Like, vegetarians aren't going to eat it because they don't like meat. Vegans aren't going to eat it because they don't like meat. Who is this for? Who is this for? You know, I don't know. I think it's for vegans that used to be meat eaters that miss eating meat, that can't eat meat but want to. That's who it's for.
Yeah.
That's a very specific set of individuals, though. You know?
Yeah.
And for people...
And maybe... Okay, maybe...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe in its current iteration... It's more expensive, and maybe it's not as good, but maybe in the future it'll get, like, really good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
and cheap. Do you know
I'm
what I mean?
I'm willing to try it. If it's cheaper than a regular burger, I will try it. But I'm not going to pay more for it. Not even, no way. No way, no how. But I think it's the current position of it is it's kind of the alligator tail of hamburgers, if you will. Like, if it's on the restaurant, people will be like, oh, yeah, I'll try that. You know, I'll do that. And they try it, and they're like, okay, I'm never going to eat that again. But it was worth doing once. You know what I mean? It's probably there. And then they go into work Monday and be like, man, have you had the Impossible Burger yet? Oh, I tried it yesterday. It was pretty good. It was all right. It's like, oh, yeah, are you going to eat it? Like, from now, it's like, no, but it's worth trying once. Yeah, it was good. How about the Yankees? Like, oh yeah, I love the, you know, and then they continue with their small talk. But yeah, I think it's like an alligator tail situation. You know, you try it once and you're like, all right, got it, figured it out.
Yeah, maybe in the far future, once replicators are invented, and you know, there's no actual meat anymore. It's just this like super convincing vegetable protein synthesis, whatever.
That's possible.
We'll be good.
That's possible. Are you ready for some Reddits? Oh, go ahead. You were about to say something.
I was going
to
say, real quick, ending thought on this improperly naming artificial meat thing. Mm-hmm. I think, so what they said on NPR is that the bigger implication of this law is that it would keep things like almond milk from being named milk, because technically almond milk has no milk in it whatsoever. It's just white almond juice.
Almond milk shouldn't be named milk. It's almond milk. It's not milk.
What are you going to put on the package? Almond juice. Like,
almond milk with a winky face right after it. Maybe we need to come up with a new milk word for, like, milk. That's like, people know it's milk. It means milk, but it doesn't say milk. So, like, almond milk. That's bad.
Almond milk with a Y.
There you go. Almond milk. And it has like 2 K's at the end or something. Almond milk. It's like, that's it.
That's like a Lord of the Rings beverage.
It does sound like something. Lord of the Rings. With a Y and 2 K's at the end. It sounds like elfish. Like, have you had your milk?
Because they don't eat meat, you know?
Elves? Elves don't?
Yeah, they're vegetarians.
Oh, that's true. And they drink almond milk.
I think.
Yeah, they have the Impossible Burger and drink. Almond milk. So we need a new name for meat then, too. So you got milk that's not milk. Milk that's not milk. And then what's the meat name? Like, what do they call meat that's not meat? You know?
Make it really sound elfish. Like the.
You can't really use a Y there. I feel like you need one of those A's with, like, the double dots on top of it somewhere. You know what I mean? Like Mayette. Yeah.
Okay.
Like M-A-E-T. M-A with the double
M-A.
Dots.
M-A. Yeah. E-T-T-E.
Mayet. Mayet.
Hello there, traveler. What will you have it today at the inn? Oh, I'll have the Mayet burger and the almond milk.
I love it. See, this is what we can label them. And then people will look at it and be like, oh, that looks like it says meat, but it doesn't really. Wink, wink, wink. And then they'll know it's meat. Or it's, you know, fake meat. And then same for milk. You know what I mean? This is perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Are you ready for some Reddit questions?
Sure.
Right, yeah, you are? Okay.
Yeah, ready.
Yes, I have a doozy for you. This person, Attic97 from Reddit, asks, I'm looking to take a school bus, strip it down, and turn it into a gaming bus with TV and consoles. But I know about above 15 seats, I need a B-class license. How do I determine how many seats are in the bus? If it's one big couch, would it not count as a seat? I'm not looking to drive with people in it. I just want to set it up and have people play in it. Signed, Attic97. So, basically, he wants like a Mountain Dew gaming bus rig that a bunch of people can play in all the time. I don't understand the need for a bus when he's not going to drive it.
Let's just pretend. I mean, let's. I don't know, dude.
I think it's more fun if we imagine that he's going to drive.
Yeah, like, why doesn't he just. Why doesn't he just have people over? Like,
at his house? That's too much. He can, maybe we've gotten so far. He can clearly
afford a school bus.
If he can afford a school bus, he can just host a stupid party at his house with, like, games and stuff. Maybe we've gotten so far as a society, like, we're so socially repressed as individuals that you can't just invite your friends over to your house anymore to, like, play Smash Brothers. Like, they're like, nah, man, that's Jesus. Not cool enough. I'm not ready. Instead, you have to buy a school bus, convert it to a gaming bus, and be like, guys, I did this. I spent $30,000 on this for you guys to come over and play Call of Duty with me. And then, like, okay. That sounds fun. I'll do that. Maybe we're at that point in society where we can't just hang out with each other. We need this.
Jesus.
Got really, really depressing, didn't it? You didn't think it was going to go this way.
That's probably why, dude. Because why do you need that ever? I mean, like, what are you going to do? That
now, you can't
stay at your house.
Yeah. When I first read this question, are you still there? Hello?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I just heard a sound. When I first read this question, I thought we were going to go the, like, oh, this is like a Mountain Dew Doritos Loco Taco kind of direction, if you will. You know what I mean? Like a extreme gamer kind of route. But talking about it, I think we've really hit the nail on the head with he's doing this because it's the only way he can hang out with
people. Interact with other humans.
Which is a terrible, terrible thing. Like, I was thinking about this recently, which is weird. I'm sorry we're segueing from such a fun question into such a depressing topic, but it feels to me like people have this fear of missing out so much in society. Like, they're like, I don't want to make any plans with doing basic stuff because something cool might happen and I might do that. And I think it's because of social media, like we're all like on edge, we're ready to jump at the cool thing to such an extent that it's really hard to just, like, and maybe I'm just talking by myself here, but it's really hard to just ask people to just hang out anymore. Like, I feel like you need, like, an excuse now. Like, you can't just be like, hey, buddy. Well, we can because we like each other. But, like, hey, buddy, why don't you come over and we'll play Mario Kart, you know? It's like, oh, sure, that sounds fun. Like, Friday, I'll order pizza, we'll drink some beers, we'll play Mario Kart. It's like, oh, that sounds fun. It sounds good. Or you want to come over and watch, you know, Inception or something, right? It's like, let's be chill, you know. Or we'll go to a bar or whatever, right? Just simple things, everyday things. I feel like it's harder to do some things like that because people are like, oh, no, I can't. I'm not down for that. And what they're really saying is, like, I don't want to commit to such a mundane activity because there might be a cool thing that comes up later that I, at a drop of a hat, I need to be able to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that cool thing that might be coming, I can get a picture at that I'll look happy in, and then I can post it on my social media, and people will think I'm happy.
Right, and I'm not happy, and I'll fool myself for one extra day into thinking I'm happy. Individual. Yeah, yeah, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. I came to this realization recently because one of my friends, like, invited me to do something, and it was, like, some extravagant thing, and I was like, dude, if you want to hang out with me, let's just, like, go to your house, go to your place and just watch TV. Like, I don't need an extravagant, you know, thing to, like, you know, I do not need an extravagant excuse. But, like, it seems like, say you have a friend you haven't hung out with in, like, 6 months. Today, I guarantee people, instead of being like, hey, do you want to come hang out or you want to grab a coffee or go out to lunch? Instead, they'll, like, find some social... Yeah, they'll find some social event and be like, oh, there's a food and beer fest, mac and cheese beer festival downtown this weekend. Do you want to go with me? It's like, what? Like, no, I'd rather just hang out with you on a couch. Like, let's just chill in someone's house. Like, what? But, like, it feels like you need an excuse like that to, like, do things with people. And it's weird. Maybe it's just me getting older, but I feel like it's somewhat social media's fault. For this, I don't know if that's.
Do you know what this reminds me of?
Consider,
Yeah, no, I know, I feel exactly what you're talking about. But do you know what it reminds me of? It's only like loosely related, but.
Yeah.
So, back like when I was a kid, and I was maybe dating the first person I ever dated ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we got to go out on a date. But what am I going to do?
What grade is this?
If we just like
seventh, eighth.
This is, like, probably ninth.
Ninth grade, okay.
So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I have to do something cool, or they'll think I'm lame. Like, what am I going to do? And I, like, one of my first ones ever is I imported Fooly Cooly DVDs that were, like, $50 each. And I got all three. It was, like, $150. Waste so much money. And I invited this girl over, and she didn't like anime.
Oh no!
And it was like it was a total bummer.
You've ruined everything. So what did you do?
But we just was very awkward, and then we didn't talk after that.
Oh man, that's rough.
Simple enough.
If she liked anime, it would be that would have been it.
That would have been a hit. Right, but yeah, whatever. Whatever. She did. She wasn't like, right for me anyway. Screw her.
You needed like a cool excuse. You needed a cool excuse. I mean, that's kind of like my example of watching a movie. But still, like, you tried to be cool. You tried to be, I don't know. It's. I feel like this gaming bus is this question, basically consolidated. Because, like, if you have friends that play video games, just fucking invite them over to your house to play video games. You don't need this gaming bus excuse. Like, you don't need that. Just do it normally.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you have friends that don't want to hang out with you or are too busy, quote-unquote, to hang out with you, and but you're like, hey, man, I got a gaming bus. You know, they're probably going to come. Some of them, at least, are probably going to come check that out, you know? So.
Yeah, and you're going to be fighting technical difficulties all night, and there's going to be no air conditioning, and it's going
to
suck.
People can say they went to the gaming bus. You know, it's the faux experience. Like, it's the fake experience that they get. You know, it's the ethereal fake experience. The idea of the experience is better than the experience.
Do you know what people need? This is so fucking weird. This is what it comes down to. Everybody just wants someone else to think that they're cool. That's it.
That's like everything.
You need someone else to think that you're cool. And if you invite someone over under regular circumstances, they won't think you're cool.
And yeah, you're not cool, and they won't think you're cool. And they'll feel less cool for doing it with you.
Right.
You know. And then, like, when someone asks what you did this weekend to a person that went over to someone's house and hung out on the couch, they're going to say nothing because they're embarrassed by this revelation.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? You need a story.
But if they were on a gaming bus.
Yeah, I went to the gaming bus. I went to the Mountain Dew, Doritos Loco, Extreme Red Bull gaming bus. It was off the hook. You know?
Can you imagine how not fun that would be? You can't drink in it.
It wouldn't be fun at all. It would be very unfun. Like, it would be not fun. I would rather just hang out at someone's house. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, this is basically what he's suggesting is a LAN party, right? It's just everyone comes over and you play LAN video games. And you don't need an excuse to have a LAN party.
Yeah.
Well, in the early 2000s and late 90s when we did them, you didn't need an excuse to have them. You just had them. You know, it's like, we're having a LAN party this Friday or whatever. It's like, okay, let's do it. You know, and that was it. They didn't need an excuse. But now it's like, no, I'm not going to a LAN party. But a gaming bus, yeah, I'll go there. I'll do that. But it's not. It's worse than a LAN party. It's like a bad LAN party. You're on a bus. There's no air conditioning. There's like minimal outlets. You're probably sitting in a fire hazard, you know, at the time. I don't know. It's just bad.
There's probably a dude sitting on your lap because there's no room. Like,
there's no room anywhere. Probably a homeless person trying to get into the bus thinking it's like unoccupied.
Hey, man, you got any blankets?
Hey, man, what are you guys doing in there? Is this free to the public? And you're like, no, get out of the gaming bus. Maybe we should have just had a regular LAN party, Steve. Shut up, Joe. This is the gaming bus. Have another Mountain
Where are they
Dew.
Parking this thing?
Chill out.
Where are they parking it? Outside of their house?
Like, maybe it's in the school parking lot, right? I don't know where it is. Yeah, I don't know. This is a sad society we live in. And I was just thinking about this like last week. It's so weird that we loop this around to it. I feel like we're socially repressed in a way.
And the moral of the story is just get your friend and just invite him over to your house.
Just do stuff. Do normal stuff.
Just do normal stuff. Yeah.
It's so exhausting to just try to develop friendships as an adult millennial. Because, like I said, you have to have excuses to like do stuff with people. They're like, let's go to the fucking light show beer spectacular. Like, I don't want to do that. Can we just do nothing together? Like, when did people get so boring that they don't want to have, like, regular conversations with each other anymore? You know what I mean? Like, we've made do 3,000 years. Primary form of entertainment is just drinking and talking, you know? But only recently have we realized that that's not enough for me. I need more than that. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It's tough out there. It's tough.
It is tough. What are you gonna do?
I'm glad that I have a few people that I'm friends with before this whole trend started. This whole social upheaval. Started because those you make when you make friends with people as a kid or as a you know when I did when you did you, we know mm-hmm. You don't have to jump through those hoops, you know, you don't have to deal with that bullshit, and it just kind of carries over into adulthood. But as an adult now, it's like, oh yeah, you better have some fucking great thing planned or no one's gonna want to do jack shit with you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, back in the day, back when we were hanging out, we didn't do anything. Like,
we did nothing.
Every single day, you didn't even call me. You would just show up at my house because that was the rule. That was the plan.
And I had more fun
you would just be
doing
there.
That than I've had in, like, you know, years trying
Ever.
To like, do
for me.
Cool stuff. Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, and it's like funny because as an adult, you're like, oh, I'm going to do this cool thing with these cool people. And it's like, at the end of the day, you're like just doing some dumb thing as an excuse to hang out with people. And you don't really get to hang out with those people that much because you're doing this dumb thing in the way of it. And it's just like, just keep it simple. Like, people are embarrassed to just be like, let's just chill. You know, we've lost the chill. You know, who still has the chill? Is the stoners. They still have got it. But that's it. That's the only part of society I feel like they still have it. Everyone else is like, go, go, go. We got to go to this thing and do this thing with each other. It's really boring and it's not that fun and it's a little stressful because you have to buy tickets a week early. They get sold out. And you're never going to talk to me because we're going to be watching the screen the whole time and eating and blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be really bad. And you're not going to find anywhere to park. And then afterwards, you're going to want to take a nap for 3 hours. Because you're exhausted. And then the next day you're going
to
sleep in.
You're not going to work the next day.
Yeah. And the next day you're going to sleep in and watch Netflix all day. And you're like, was that worth it? Was that 4 hours of not talking to a semi-close acquaintance at a, you know, beer festival worth it? It's like, probably not. Probably wasn't.
You know, that's why it's illegal, dude. That's why it's illegal. They want you spending money.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm glad we're friends because of that. Because it's just like, you know, the people you know, it's just the no bullshit people. Those aren't very common anymore. Everyone's putting a front on. I think most people are like us in that they want the no bullshit, but they think everyone else wants the bullshit. I think that's the real problem. You know what I mean?
I have hope. That's a very optimistic outlook.
But you know what I mean?
Can I tell you, though? Okay.
Yeah, tell me.
So, for example, last night I texted you at like 10 p.m. about my idea for a live-action Flintstones movie.
Which is fucking great. Idea, by the way.
Which is just what I do. It's just what I do. I just text you crazy shit. And, you know, if I were to text, like, someone I worked with that, they would be like, are you okay?
I would get fired the next day. You should text one of your coworkers.
No, like, even the ones I'm friendly with. Be like, okay, listen to this. It's my idea for a new Flintstones movie. They're like,
what the hell are you on, buddy? What are you on? What name did you come up with? It's like Flintstones Rocks something.
It was your name.
I don't remember. Was it?
It was your name was a Flintstones Concrete Jungle.
Right, because Fred invented concrete and then was trying to be like sabotaged by the boss or something, right?
Yeah, that's canon in the first live action Flintstones movie, which I love. At the very end of the movie, Fred he invents concrete on accident by destroying, like, the housing development.
It would pick up, like, right when that one leaves off.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a kidnapping in your story, though, right? Fred goes all Liam Neeson.
Okay, so what happens... All right, end of the first movie. Mr. Rockwell, the big CEO of the evil corporation... dies. He becomes encased in concrete because Fred destroys his housing development and it all crumbles on itself and creates concrete. And he's like frozen in it. So that's a really dark way to go, but it happens.
It sounds like the ending of a Batman
film. New movie.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, new movie. Here we go. Fred goes back to his job at the quarry with Barney Rubble because he's a simple man. He doesn't want any of that, you know, big wig, white collar BS.
Just wants a simple life.
But it turns out, since he invented concrete, the patent is in his name, and the biggest shareholder of the evil corporation learns that he owns the patent, so he kidnaps Fred's daughter, Pebbles,
and he
demands the patent for ransom.
Wow.
And he's like, Fred has to take you better sign the patent over to me, or I'm going to, you know, put Pebbles in concrete. I don't know. Yeah, and then Fred, he meets up with all of his bowling buddies, because, you know, that's what Fred Flintstone does, and it turns out all of them are, like, secret badasses, like, you know, like, and he goes Liam Neeson on him, like, from Taken, gets his daughter back, and saves the day.
Can the bowling posse, my vision. be, like, fighting, too? Is that part of it?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's the Stone Age, so you have to think of, like, technological analogs that are... Stone Age equivalent. They don't have guns. They have slingshots. They've got, like...
Sure. So the bowlers maybe really...
Pterodactyls and stuff.
Because they, like, know physics or something. Yeah. I don't know if I like Concrete Jungle, now that I think about it, as a title for this. I mean, now that I hear like it out loud. It could be, like, Flintstones on the rocks. Or something like that. I don't know.
Well, on the rocks is, like... drinks.
I know. That would be like the noir version. Right. That's like the sequel.
Yeah.
Like, Fred is like...
How about Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas? It takes place in Las Vegas.
That's already a movie, though.
Is that? Oh, yeah. That might be the first one, yeah.
Isn't that the name of the one of the movies?
I don't remember. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's like the name of one of the movies. But that's playing that song, Las Vegas song, because it's part of the thing. I like it, though. Yeah. We need more gritty old TV show reboots, like the Flintstones and then, like, the Jetsons. You know, you could have, like, a cyberpunk Jetsons.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what I think the first one will be is the Jetsons.
The first reboot? Do you think they'll reboot the Flintstones and the Jetsons one day?
So my theory is, you know, the comic books, which are big in the movies right now, those kind of got their start around 1920, I think. So 20 years later was Hanna-Barbera's like golden age.
Oh, so we're just going to cycle through.
Yeah, I think 20 years from now, you're going to start getting some Flintstones and Jetsons and maybe some, I don't know, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. It'll all come back around. That's very interesting. Yeah,
as it does.
Yeah. Okay, one would you rather, and then we'll end the show. Okay. Would you rather... Oh, man. Would you rather have no body or no friends?
I missed the first part because of the audio.
Would you rather have no body or no friends? Did we do this one last time?
I don't think so.
Cheer me.
I'll have no body.
Really? So you'd be a computer and you'd have a friendly computer, if you will.
Yeah, that's fine with me, as long as I have friends.
That's fair. Good answer. Really ties the show up nicely. Who's our sponsor today, Batsnacks?
Our sponsor today is Banjo VoiceOver IP Chat.
When you really need VoiceOver IP Chat and you don't want to use Discord anymore because it's a piece of crap, choose Banjo.
Use Banjo.
Remember, when you're feeling kind of loose,
go talk to a moose.
Good night, everyone. Have a great night, Drive Safe.
Good night.